Welcome to Sleepy Shorts Kids, short stories for bedtime. We are supported by Sleepy Shorts Podcast. Just like Sleepy Shorts Kids, it's a bedtime story podcast that's suitable for all ages, but geared more to grown-ups. If you know a grown-up who has trouble falling asleep, they may want to give Sleepy Shorts a try. It's available on major podcast apps like Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and many others. Or simply say, "Alexa, play the Sleepy Shorts podcast." Just be sure to add please and thank you. Now, relax and get comfortable. It's time to grab your favorite pillow, snuggle into your covers, and turn off the light. Your bedtime story is about to begin. Let me help you fall asleep.
The Hen. All along the farmyard gables, the swallows sat a row, twittering uneasily to one another, telling of many things, but thinking only of summer and the south, for autumn was afoot, and the north wind waiting. And suddenly one day, they were all quite gone, and everyone spoke of the swallows and the south. "I think I shall go south myself next year," said a hen. And the year wore on, and the swallows came again, and they sat again on the gables, and all the poultry discussed the departure of the hen. And very early one morning, the wind being from the north, the swallows all soared suddenly and felt the wind in their wings, and a strength came upon them, and a strange old knowledge, and a more than human faith, and flying high, they left the smoke of our cities, and saw at last the huge and homeless sea, and steering by gray sea currents, went southward with the wind. And going south, they went by glittering fog banks and saw old islands lifting their heads above them. They saw the slow quests of the wandering ships and lands at war till there came in view the mountains that they sought and the sight of the peaks they knew. And they descended into an austral valley and saw summer, sometimes sleeping and sometimes singing song. "I think the wind is about right," said the hen, and she spread her wings and ran out of the poultry yard, and she ran fluttering out onto the road and some way down until she came to a garden. At evening, she came back panting. And in the poultry yard, she told the other poultry how she had gone south as far as the high road, and saw the great world's traffic going by, and came to lands where the potato grew, and saw the stubble upon which men live, and at the end of the road had found a garden, and there were roses in it, beautiful roses. And the gardener himself was there. "How extremely interesting," the other poultry said, "and what a beautiful description." As the winter wore away, and the bitter months went by, and the spring of the year appeared, the swallows came again. "We have been to the south," they said, "and the valleys beyond the sea." But the poultry would not agree that there was a sea in the south. "You should hear our hen," they said. "She has been to the end of the road. She has been to the garden with the beautiful roses. And that is enough for us." The True History of the Hare and the Tortoise. For a long time, there was doubt with acrimony among the beasts as to whether the hare or the tortoise could run the swifter. Some said the hare was the swifter of the two because he had such long ears, and others said the tortoise was the swifter, because anyone whose shell was so hard as that should be able to run hard too. And lo, the forces of estrangement and disorder perpetually postponed a decisive contest. But when there was nearly war among the beasts, at last an arrangement was come to, and it was decided that the hare and the tortoise should run a race of 500 yards, so that all should see who is right. "Ridiculous nonsense," said the hare, and it was all his backers could do to get him to run. "The contest is most welcome to me," said the tortoise. "I shall not shirk it." Oh, how his backers cheered. Feeling ran high on the day of the race. The goose rushed at the fox and nearly pecked him. Both sides spoke loudly of the approaching victory up to the very moment of the race. "I am absolutely confident of success," said the tortoise. But the hare said nothing. He looked bored and cross. Some of his supporters deserted him and went to the other side, who were loudly cheering the tortoise's inspiring words. But many remained with the hare. "We shall not be disappointed in him," they said. "A beast with such long ears is bound to win." "Run hard," said the supporters of the tortoise. And "run hard" became a kind of catchphrase, which everybody repeated to one another. Then they were off, and suddenly there was a hush. The hare dashed off for about 100 yards. Then he looked around to see where his rival was. "It is rather absurd," he said, "to race with a tortoise." And he sat down and scratched himself. "Run hard, run hard," shouted some. "Let him rest," shouted others. And "let him rest" became a catchphrase too. After a while, his rival drew close to him. "There comes that tortoise," said the hare. And he got up and ran as hard as he could so that he should not let the tortoise beat him. "Those ears will win," said his friends. "Those ears will win and establish upon an incontestable footing the truth of what we have said." And some of them turned to the backers of the tortoise and said, "What about your beast now?" "Run hard," they replied. "Run hard." The hare ran on for nearly 300 yards, nearly, in fact, as far as the winning post, when it suddenly struck him what a fool he looked running races with a tortoise who was nowhere in sight. And he sat down again and scratched. "Run hard, run hard," said the crowd, "and let him rest." "Whatever is the use of it," said the hare, and this time he stopped for good. Some say he slept. There was desperate excitement for an hour or two, and then the tortoise won. "Run hard, run hard," shouted his backers. "Hard shell and hard living, that's what has done it." And then they asked the tortoise what his achievement signified, and he went and asked the turtle. And the turtle said, "It is a glorious victory for the forces of swiftness." And then the tortoise repeated it to his friends. And all the beasts said nothing else for years. And even to this day, "a glorious victory for the forces of swiftness" is a catchphrase in the house of the snail and other beasts. And the reason that this version of the race is not widely known is that very few of those that witnessed it survived the great forest fire that happened shortly after. It came upon the night by a great wind. The hare and the tortoise and very few of the beasts saw it far off from a high hill that was at the edge of the trees, and they quickly called a meeting to decide what messenger they should send to warn the beasts in the forest. They sent the tortoise. Good night.